Hello, everyone, and welcome to Into the Deep. This is the Awake Church podcast that we're doing. My name is Matt Peterson. And Into the Deep came about really as I was reading about Jesus ministering on the seashore, and he gets into Peter's boat as it's right there next to the shore, and he starts to minister to the crowds. And then when he's done, he turns to Peter and says, "Let's put out into the deep together for a catch." And so it was Jesus and Peter. I think there probably were some other guys on the boat too, but just a more of an intimate time together where they could go into the deep and watch Jesus do something supernatural in bringing up all of these fish. And so we've named this podcast Into the Deep to have different guests come on that we can push out from the edge and talk about some things that maybe you wouldn't hear typically or normally, and just see what the Holy Spirit would have to say. So today my guests are Barry and Lori Byrne. They live in Redding, California. They have a ministry called Nothing Hidden Ministries. The name of that. And have been ministering for years and years, decades. They've been here at Awake, at our church. I think this is the fifth time.
Yeah.
Meeting with couples. It's a love after marriage workshops that I attended, my wife Debbie and I, the first one, and then they've done several since then. They're amazing, and they really have helped marriages. They've helped relationships. People get helped, healed, made whole. Marriages come together. Many stories. You guys have thousands of stories. And we want to kind of dive in today about this, but first I'd like to hear a little bit about from each of you. Your kind of maybe some of your personal story and how you got together even. So how did you meet the Lord? Maybe just in a brief sharing of how you met the Lord and when did that happen?
I was raised in a Catholic church. It was, fortunately, it wasn't just nominal. My parents were serious about their faith. And so I took on, you know, what I could learn there. I ended up in high school going to a preparatory seminary. I was planning to be a Catholic priest. On my dad's side, two of his brothers were priests and his one sister was a nun. So we were pretty entrenched in the Catholic Church. And honestly, for me, it was like, this is the best thing you can do in life. So that's what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
And my senior year, I actually left. That's a little bit of a story, but I actually spent a few years. I spent a few years away from the Lord in college, and then I ended up at her dad's church, a conservative evangelical church, and it was right around that time in my master's degree in counseling, psychology counseling, I started reading the Bible, and I first found out who Jesus Christ was reading the Gospels. And I remember reading the book of Ephesians thinking, oh, this is what the church is. And the Lord really spoke to me through the Word of God. And I just made a commitment that I want to be part of this for the rest of my life. And I want Him to be part of my life. And then later, people led me through the sinner's prayer, things like that.
Yeah.
And then it was onward from there from her father's church and then into later charismatic Pentecostal churches we were involved with.
Okay. But you hadn't really read the Bible before as a Catholic?
No. In the Catholic Mass, they give portions of the Gospel, portions of the Epistles, and even Old Testament portions. But I remember being in the seminary, and I had a New Testament somewhere. I got it, and I started reading it. We never read this. We don't read through and study the Bible that way.
You mostly read prayer books, huh?
Yeah, we had prayer books.
Yeah.
So just portions.
Yeah. How about you, Lori?
I was 3 years old.
Yes.
It was a Sunday morning. I was in my mama's bed before they went to church.
It's amazing you have a memory from 3 years old.
I think I was told this.
Okay, yeah.
Because I remember being in my mom's bed, and I could remember it. But I just, at that point, I guess I really wanted to say yes to Jesus. And so she led me to the Lord. And that's about all I remember. And then probably every year afterwards, I would give my life to Jesus again because I thought I was too young the last year.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, you kept doing it a few times.
I did it until I got to be seven, and I thought, no, this is okay.
There you go. It's done. That's pretty amazing. So I was almost a similar testimony. I was young when I met the Lord. And that is a wonderful testimony.
It's true.
It really is an awesome thing.
Yeah.
And so then, how did you meet?
Well, we were at her, I was at her church, and
can I go first, because I want to say the first time I saw him, and I was singing at church, and I was looking out into the audience, and I went, and I saw his face, and I thought, there is a handsome man. And also,
was this a big church? Was it a little church?
There was only two of us.
No, is I think we had about, how many did my dad have?
About 300 to 400.
Three to 400. Yeah. So, you know, yeah. And so I thought, and there is a man that I haven't dated in the church, and somebody that could possibly, and I didn't think all this, but I had told the Lord I did not want to go church hopping to find my husband.
Yeah.
So he was going to have to bring him there. So when I saw him, I was kind of excited.
Like, thanks, Lord. Yeah.
And her brother had actually, I had met her younger brother, and she had told her and her sister, he had told her and her sister a little bit about me, and he thought I was somebody they should date. So I started attending the church. I noticed Lori, and I had my eye on her. And so the way I kind of operated back then, I go, if I wanted to meet somebody, I was going to make a way to meet, to talk to her, meet her. So I was going to the college group. She was working with the junior high, and I heard, oh, Lori, her maiden name is Tabay. Lori Tabay is going to be in the college group tonight on Sunday night. So I go, I'll make sure I meet her. So I walk in. We're meeting at somebody's house. And before I had a chance to say a word out of my mouth, she's standing there with her brother who had met me, and she says to her brother Johnny, "Oh, Johnny, who is this?" So that was our introduction. So then we started talking. So that made it very easy for me, and we talked a little bit afterwards, and then asked her out, and went very good after that.
And then you've been married how long now?
45 years. This year will be 46.
45 years. Mm-hmm. How about that? And tell me about your kids. How many kids do you have? And
we have 4 boys. Okay. We couldn't make girls.
Yep. They're men now. They're not.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. But we love our boys. Mm-hmm. And 3 of them are living with us in Reading. Mm-hmm. And then we have 1 son and his wife and kids that are in Tennessee. Yeah.
Yes. Wonderful. How many grandkids at this point?
Seven.
7 grandkids. Awesome.
With promises for more.
Yes, yeah. That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I say the same when we talk about our kids. We have 5 sons. We don't have the girl recipe. So
yeah,
I just never got that one. Yeah. So you guys didn't either.
You got a basketball team.
Right, we did. So then tell me about starting ministry. You were in, Barry, you were at least maybe a little bit of your career part, marriage and family therapist, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Actually started, I spent 15 years working for Safeway stores.
Okay.
Started in the grocery stores when I was in high school and then through college. And then I worked in the Los Angeles division office and purchasing for about 10 years.
Okay.
About 5 years, 6 years. And then I was executive director of a Christian counseling center. I left Safeway. I had my master's degree in counseling, a bachelor's in psychology, master's in counseling. And during another 15 years, I got my license. And a license as a marriage and family therapist in California, and practiced there, and then went out into private practice in 2000. Then we moved up to Reading 3 years later, and I started all over and working at a counseling agency like the one I directed in Orange County.
Yeah.
A couple of years after that, I went into private practice again in Reading, and God restored everything there, and then I would say that was probably 2005. About 2012, I left that, and we started the ministry full time.
Okay, together, and you've been in Reading ever since.
Yeah, since 2003.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Lori, you have a family history of believers, isn't that right?
Yes, yes. Both of my grandpas are Baptist ministers, and my dad was mostly interdenominational pastor. Yeah. But I remember being in that little church, and my mom played the organ. My dad, it was a very small church, and he was the pastor and spoke on Sunday mornings, and he also did the youth group, and he also did everything else. You know how you do in a little church?
Mm-hmm.
And so I was there with them, and then we ended up, when I was about 9 years old, we moved to Orange County, where we were in LA County at that time. And I moved to Orange County around the same time he left Pennsylvania. And so we were now kind of in Orange County together. Mm-hmm. But we didn't know each other then.
Wouldn't know each other for quite a while.
Yeah.
God was bringing us together.
Glad it all worked out. He knows how to do that. Yeah.
Yes, he does.
So tell me about when you left kind of your practice and started. Was it Nothing Hid Ministries what you started at that point? Or what was the ministry that you guys did together?
We first named it Love After Marriage.
Okay.
And then after, at Bethel Church, where we attend, singles were hearing about the testimonies from the couples and asking if they could attend.
We go,
said,
no.
This isn't quite right for you. Mm-hmm. And we started a single life workshop.
Okay.
And then we thought, calling it Love After Marriage and doing so, we named it Nothing Hidden Ministries.
That makes sense. Yeah.
And of course, the reason for that is one of the main focuses of our lives, my life, actually. Mm-hmm. This started when I was in a seminary. Is truth, being focusing on the truth and being truthful with ourselves, other people. And I'll just tell a story quickly. I was one of our morning time devotional times in seminary. We'd go and we'd read our prayer books, and then they would read a devotional, and we would spend some time, I don't remember, 5-10 minutes of meditating on that devotional. And the Lord spoke to me one day. I didn't even know it was the Lord then. I wasn't familiar with the Lord's voice. But the reason I know it was Him is because it really imparted something to me, and it never left. That memory, that thought never left. And the thought was just simply truthfulness. Honesty needs to be one of the things you value the highest in your life. And if you end up lying or deceiving other people, you're deceiving yourself, or vice versa. If you're not honest with yourself, you won't be honest with other people. So began this whole thing, and like I said, something was imparted, because it's been a high value for me throughout my life. And in what I do, we have to look at people from the inside out. And so God was preparing me for that way back then.
Wow.
So Nothing Hidden.
Yeah, and what, at this point now, the ministry, you have the singles ministry as well as the marriage ministry all within that. And tell me a little bit about maybe the kind of the mission of the ministry, or what the emphasis is.
Okay. Well, we actually got the ministry idea given to us in a dream by the Lord. And I was on staff at Bethel as a community life pastor, and I was under Danny, Danny Silk. And Danny was asking me one day, how many strong marriages do you know in the body of Christ and, you know, at large and here? And I go, not very many, you know? And so we just had a little discussion about that, and I went home, and that night I had a dream. And the Lord gave us the dream. And do you know the dream? Have you heard it before? Can I say it on this broadcast?
Sure, you can.
Because this is a deep dive, right?
Yeah, it is.
It was Barry and I were in the back of a flatbed truck, and we were naked, and we were making love.
Okay.
And we were on my parents' street, something that we do not do.
Yes.
Only in dreams.
Right, exactly.
And so in, you know, I woke up and I thought, oh my gosh, what a weird dream. I had no idea what it was. And Barry goes, I think that is the marriage ministry that God wants us to have. And we had never talked. You know, he's a marriage and family therapist. I was a stay-at-home mom, and I taught piano, and we had no idea of doing this.
Yeah.
And when he got the interpretation, there was just like a download that fell from heaven, and we sat for like an hour and a half, and we were just writing stuff. It was in the bed. We were really, it was early in the morning. And when we were done, we got up and we danced around our bedroom because we were going, oh, this is really from God. I mean, we've done enough unanointed work. This is really God, you know? And so that was very exciting.
That was the beginning. Our actual mission statement is to bring spiritual, relational, and sexual wholeness to every person. Mm. So we really address all three of those in our workshops. We address all three of those.
Yeah.
Whether married couples or singles, in both married couples and singles, if you're going to begin a relationship and moving towards marriage, mm-hmm. or in a marriage, just a lot of people who don't know how to connect very well spiritually.
Yes.
Best, they have their own spiritual connection, and they're both doing well with the Lord, but many people don't know how to do it together. Mm. And so we show people how you can do that and how you can really connect together with the Lord and help each other spiritually. Mm-hmm. And then relational, some of the relational tools and sexually, it's actually a very big issue. Mm-hmm. You and I were talking about this a little bit, mm-hmm. and to the Lord, it's a huge issue.
Yeah,
and sexuality, mm-hmm. and so many singles live in a lot of shame because of sexual things that have happened to them, sexual choices they made, and lots of times people go into marriage not having received healing from that, and then that really affects. This thing that God intended to be a very beautiful connection inside of marriage ends up getting messed up, and not very many people really fully receive the blessing that God intends in sexuality. So that ends up becoming often a very big big issue for people.
Yeah, and so important.
Yeah.
Super important. It's so interesting because there isn't a lot talked about, you probably in the church.
That's right.
In particular, about sexual things, correct. Sexual issues.
Yeah.
And even you sharing that dream. I know people who are watching this are cringing the moment that you had a dream about making love with your husband in the back of a truck.
You don't talk about that.
Well, think about television and movies and series. All that is okay in the world when it's not your spouse, but to have a dream about your husband making love
and think of it's God,
it for people to think that that's weird is like, no, it's weird to think that that's weird,
right? Because that's right.
This is how God made this,
not
necessarily in your parents' neighborhood, but
that was the worst part,
right? Exactly. But for God to use that intimate thing to share as really a metaphor in a sense for what He wanted you to do ministry wise, the Lord, I believe that was the Lord.
Yeah.
I think you got the interpretation right,
And really, we've realized as we've started doing this that the fact that we were naked and making love out in the open, this is about not holding anything back that the Holy Spirit is wanting you to tell.
Yeah.
And sometimes, you know, we would have an argument on the way to teaching our, you know, we're doing it as a Sunday school class.
Yeah.
And the Lord goes, I want you to share what your argument was about. You know, and we're going,
sure.
Oh, that's right. So stupid. How embarrassing.
Yeah.
You know, but the point is that we need the tools that God has helped us create as much as anybody else.
Absolutely.
And so the fact that we still have needs to have spiritual input other than just our own selves and spiritual power to overcome the stuff that comes against our marriage, because Satan hates covenant love.
Yeah. Yes, that's right.
And the more we're in this ministry, the more we see how many couples are coming in, and that is where they're getting hit in the whole sexual relationship and the emotional oneness.
Yeah. I believe that. It's so messed up in the world.
It is.
Yeah.
I want to go back because what you said is really important. That we get inundated. Mm. We have to work to keep out the sexual images.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And we can't. You walk in the mall and you can't keep
everywhere.
Them out. You know.
Yeah.
We have to keep them off our computer, things like that. But in the church, we have traditionally primarily talked about don't do this.
Right.
It's wrong. It's bad. We haven't helped people know how to manage and deal with their sexual appetite, the God-given sexual desire,
right?
And how to manage it and deal with it well until you get into marriage.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, people are being fed by the world, and one of the things that God has led us to do, and to tell you the truth, if it was up to me, I would not talk about my sexual relationship at all to anybody.
Right.
Even me, I wouldn't.
Right.
But it is so, people feel so relieved when we can talk
Absolutely.
About it in a pure way. And in our marriage, we are so thankful. There has been no adultery. There's been no pornography. There's been no masturbation, things like that, yeah. Throughout our 45 years of marriage, mm-hmm. God has blessed us, even mm-hmm. though I came into the marriage, I was not a virgin.
Yeah.
During my years in college, I ended up having mm-hmm. a sexual relationship. Lori was a virgin, and God has blessed us.
Mm-hmm.
And just because we've sought him. But this whole area of sexuality, it's so important to God.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I think so many of us carry so much shame about it that mm-hmm. God does not.
Right.
So we don't talk about it, even in the church. Mm-hmm. But we need to be able to help each other with it.
And the fact that we talk about it, and we never knew that we were going to go in so deeply.
Yeah.
I mean, the Holy Spirit was totally egging us on.
Mm.
And but we found out when we started talking about it,
yeah.
there was an impartation that went out and an anointing that went out into the room, and it made it easy for people to be able to be vulnerable.
Yeah.
And that's what people say, you know, in yeah. the small groups, they say, I'm sharing things I swore I'd go to my grave with, or
sure.
I've never felt yeah. so safe. But the Holy Spirit mm. set that up because mm. we obeyed him mm. and were willing to share what he wanted us to share.
Before we continue with the conversation, I wanted to take a minute to share about Hydrating Humanity. For the past 19 years, Hydrating Humanity has provided clean drinking water sources, hygiene education, and the news of Jesus' love to over 500,000 people in Eastern Africa, saving lives and transforming villages. You can make a huge difference in the lives of many by being a part of One Tribe, where $25 per month gives one new person clean water for life and reaches them with God's love. 100% of your monthly gift goes directly to fund projects. Please go to joinonetribe.com and join the tribe that is changing the world. Another element that I so enjoyed when I went through Love After Marriage was your reliance upon an invitation of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
So you're not just teaching, and if people think about going to a 3.5 or 5 day
yeah.
marriage workshop, they roll their eyes and they just can't, and I couldn't because I don't sometimes like hearing my own voice, but to hear someone else talk for 40
that
hours,
long.
I just can't even imagine. So, but it's not really like that.
That's right.
You are really engaging the Spirit of God to be the teacher,
right?
To reveal things, right? So maybe you can explain a little bit more about how that works.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, the first thing is we don't talk for all the time, the whole
yes.
time. There's so much time of
yeah.
couples engaging, group, small group engaging, and practicing the things that we're teaching and bringing. But yeah, Holy Spirit is a huge game changer, mm-hmm. especially coming from the field of psychology and the training. And
mm-hmm.
and I went to secular universities and got my degrees there, although... When I was executive director of the nonprofit counseling center, we had all like doctoral students from a Christian university coming and doing their internship there and stuff, and they were really using secular psychology,
yeah.
and their idea of integration was primarily, I'm a Christian and I love you, but I don't share the scriptures with you unless you ask.
I won't pray for you
unless you ask. So it was so passive.
Yeah.
That it had very little impact.
The Lord out. Yeah.
It was pretty much secular psychology. And, you know, I will say this. I believe the vast majority of secular psychologists and secular humanists who are deceived, they really want, they believe they're going after good things. They really want to help people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like me trying to, it's like me trying to live in this world. And the only thing I have to get around is a horse and chariot,
mm, yeah.
you know, compared to having a car with air conditioning
yeah.
and heating and all this.
Yeah.
The world is so limited compared mm-hmm. to what we have with the Spirit of God.
Yeah.
And many times, I would say the prayer I prayed the most when I was counseling people, I mean, I knew secular theories and stuff. I could tell them thoughts and ideas,
mm-hmm.
But I was constantly praying, Lord, it's actually Ephesians 4:29, mm-hmm. where Paul says, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification. Mm-hmm. And like the New American Standard says, according to the need of the moment,
right.
that it may give grace to those who hear. And I say, God, what do they need? Mm-hmm. What do they need? Mm-hmm. What do they need? Mm-hmm. And many times mm-hmm. it would be a thought, an idea that would come to me through the Spirit of God that I never came to me through my training. And so, and then... So that's my counseling, but in our workshops, we just constantly ask people, ask Holy Spirit, mm-hmm. ask Holy
yes.
Spirit,
mm-hmm.
helping them to get connected with Holy Spirit rather than getting connected with me.
Right.
Traditional therapy gets people very connected to the mm-hmm. to the therapist more than to God.
You could probably use that in many things. Same with pastoring.
Yeah.
Yes.
Same with so many different things. Yeah. People connected to you rather than to him. Sorry.
So mm-hmm. we'll just constantly ask them. And many times when I could give an answer, she could give an answer. Instead, we'll just say, ask the Lord. Mm-hmm. Ask him to speak. Because we know when he speaks, there is power and authority released with his words
yes.
more than ours. And we there's times for us to speak and there's times for us... for God to give us something to speak.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And it carries authority and power. But if they, the more we can get them connected with Holy Spirit, the more they have the helper.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They have the Spirit of Truth.
Yes.
They have the power and authority of God working with them on their behalf.
And what's really mm-hmm. cool is when they, you're asking them to listen and the Lord is speaking to you
mm-hmm.
and they speak out the same thing that he's just told you.
Mm.
It just can, it's yeah. like bingo,
powerful.
You yes. know, that this is the direction we need to go. And it's yeah. just a confirmation.
Yeah. And it's something too, I would think that people, when they hear God say this to them, they're going to remember it. And it is,
yes.
it becomes an intimacy with the Lord as well.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
That where they're going to grab hold of this and take it
yeah.
from
yeah.
there. Yeah, it's going to be lasting.
That's a very important point.
You know, I'd like to go back to the 3.5-day, 5-day workshop things. Mm-hmm. It is a lot. It's a big commitment.
Yeah.
And when the Lord gave this to us and we put it together, it's 18 lessons.
Okay.
And we started as an 18-week marriage workshop at
yes.
a church. And there are people at church, and we said, it's not a class
yeah.
you just come to whenever you want. You have to make a commitment. As a matter of fact, we'd tell them, if you know you're going to miss two or more, wait till you can come
yeah.
and be there. Because, and people are saying, people will never come.
Right.
And I said, well, you know what? I'm going to do something that I believe marriage deserves.
Mm-hmm.
I'd worked with marriages for 30, 40 years, at that point, probably about 30 years.
Yeah.
25 years. And I know... that just talking about marriage doesn't bring a lot of transformation.
Mm.
And I said, we're going to do something that marriage deserves. And so people they make an investment. They
yeah.
make an investment of time and they do pay for it. Mm-hmm. I mean, honestly, a lot of marriage retreats at hotels and things like that, resorts
sure.
are much more expensive than ours.
Right.
But they make an investment of time, money. And probably for many people, the biggest investment is saying, I'm going to deal with things in my life that I've never dealt with. So instead of going and listening to mm-hmm. entertaining speakers, which isn't our strength,
right.
and being inspired, which
yeah.
is fun and
sure.
it's like, and it can help and all that. But to me, it's like, I really want to go deeper.
Yes.
Go for the deep dive. I want to go into the stuff yeah. inside. Jesus said that it's out of the abundance of the heart mm-hmm. the mouth speaks. So
yeah.
we teach communication skills without dealing with the heart issues.
Mm.
He said it's out of the heart that mm-hmm. our actions come forth.
Right.
Adulteries, murders, slanders, things like this all come from the heart.
Right.
And so our goal, our desire, and what the Lord helps us do is deal with the heart issues.
Mm.
And then what comes out is going to be different, and it's much easier than to start managing our life and get it so that we end up doing the things we want to do.
Yeah.
The good things we want to do instead of not doing the good things
yeah,
we want to
right.
do and doing doing things we never wanted to do.
And have you found that when people come to a workshop and you're saying, listen to the Holy Spirit, that may be the first time they've ever heard of that in their
yeah.
life. So
yes.
then they go, I don't know what that sounds like.
Right.
So I'm sure that's been new for people, for
yeah.
one. and maybe a little bit scary. How do you help people overcome that where they realize this is God talking?
It's very rare that they come up and say they can't hear.
Oh, that's good. Wow.
And most of the time, it's people that already have been Christians mm-hmm. for a while, have been, you know, scared or believing yeah. that, you know, God doesn't speak to them. We had a man come one time with his wife, and we didn't know he wasn't a Christian, but in the first probably hour and a half of the workshop in, he started just weeping at his table. And this is like, you know, he's in his 40s. He's wearing a nice outfit. He's, you know, he's kind of got it all together.
Yeah.
And he is just weeping. Mm. And, you know, it's going on in the small group. And we don't rush over there. We let the small group do what they're going to do. And so we're sitting there going, I wonder what is happening at table four, you know. And pretty soon the leader comes over and says, this man was overcome by the presence of God. Mm. And we just led him to the Lord.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So the majority of people that come are believers, but there's been a number of people yeah. that have been led to the Lord. In other countries, there's a whole lot more in some areas where there's a really low percentage of Christians. But
yeah.
I wanted to go back to your question about people that come mm-hmm. not familiar with listening yeah. to the Lord's voice. And it's true that not a lot of people come up and say, I can't hear, you know,
right.
help
yeah.
me.
Yeah.
Sometimes that happens, but what happens more often is we put everybody in small groups, and they share and minister in small mm-hmm. groups. What we hear most of the time is, I had never heard from the Lord this way.
Okay.
And they just were willing to try.
I'm hearing God for the first time.
Okay. Yeah.
Or
yeah.
I'm hearing him talk to me about things I never thought he'd talk to me about. Mm-hmm.
And or people, they just kind of are pulled in with the flow of the leaders of the group and stuff, and they just say, when they can help them to say, just ask the Lord what to put on your heart for this person, and they start hearing, and a lot of people really are drawn into listening to the voice of the Lord for the first time in our worships, just like a lot of people are drawn into sharing things and confessing things for the yeah. first time
yeah.
so that they can get help in those areas.
Yeah.
People also say, after they're in that environment, they'll say, I have never felt so loved before. Mm. Not even by my own family or yeah. my own whatever.
It's true. And a lot of people stay long-term friends in those groups because they say nobody knows me like this.
Right.
We've opened up. We've shared things. They prayed for us.
Yeah.
They stood with us. And they build a bond through that they, even a lot of my family, and sometimes even my wife or my husband didn't know this before I came
right.
into yeah. the workshop.
Yeah. So you had mentioned in LAM, as well as other things you do, you teach tools.
Yeah.
Ways to help people engage with the Lord, to get free. Things like that you mentioned just a few minutes ago, 1, 2, 3, Skidoo.
Yeah.
For those who are watching, never heard of that, can you share that real briefly? Because that's a tool, right?
Yeah.
It's one of the tools that we came up with, and it was a combination of Barry's practice, where he was developing tools when he came into things of the Holy Spirit and was using that more, and just stuff that we've learned. Holy Spirit teaches us something new with every workshop, but the 1, 2, 3 Skidoo is a whole, it was actually, you should say, because it came from a whole 4-hour talk that he was giving to graduate students at, I forget, what was the name of the youth? Hope University.
It used to be Hope.
Yeah. And then we took those concepts and said, this is so valuable, and we reduced it down to a tool.
She okay. makes it simple.
Yes.
I have to have it simple.
I made it kind of complicated. But the concept behind it, and this is where the first time I taught it, it was a 4-hour teaching.
Yeah.
It was actually to pastoral students in graduate program. And I was invited in just to teach this class. And it's all about how... Okay, I mean, look at Ephesians 6:12. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. And we talk about that, and we know, we hear that, but how do you actually do that?
Yeah.
Well, the way the Lord took led me is understanding sin before it becomes our sin. It's a spiritual force that tempts us, mm-hmm. and that's our battle. And so the idea is that we recognize that and we learn to overcome it, and we use spiritual tools. We use biblical truth. We use taking our thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ.
Yes.
And that's a real interesting passage there in 2 Corinthians 10, that and if you look at the Greek words, it says we take our thoughts captive to the obedience mm-hmm. of Christ.
That's right.
The Greek word means to listen under. So again, mm-hmm. we talk to people, listen to the Holy Spirit, mm-hmm. listen to the Spirit of truth, mm-hmm. okay? And we're ready to punish, and it's your thoughts. What are you hearing? Our obedience starts with listening.
Yeah.
If we're really walking with God, it starts with listening. And so we're constantly listening for what do I do here, what do I do there, and getting it under His truth, and we're ready to punish all disobedience. It's not so much bad behavior. Mm. That word means hearing wrong, hearing amiss.
Right.
We're ready to punish the lies that the enemy tells us, the things that we've come to believe about ourselves that God would not say, but the enemy has said. Yeah. We're punishing that with the truth, mm-hmm. with hearing God. When it says, when our obedience, our listening is correct, is complete. And so it's hard to describe that whole concept, but that's the idea that helps people realize we really are fighting a spiritual battle.
Yeah.
And the enemy gets us fighting each other, and God says we have to be fighting against him and the lies that come from him. So that was kind of the concept behind it. And then I developed a nice little complicated tool, and she simplified it to the 1-2-3 skidoo. I don't know if you want to say some more about that.
Yeah, what does that mean?
It's kind of like 1-2-3, get out of here.
Yeah.
You know, and you're getting rid of sin that comes to you
in thought.
And it's in thought, and its desire, you know, is for you, but you must master it.
Right.
And this is a way to master it. When you catch it and you take it captive, right. you go, "Oh, this isn't me. This isn't God. This is the devil."
There you go.
Yeah.
And I am going to nail you to the cross.
Yes.
I'm going to break agreements I've made with you, known or unknown. Mm-hmm. You know, Satan got Eve to agree with him. Mm-hmm. That's how he got power.
Yeah, that's right.
Over the whole earth. Mm-hmm. And then the next step is break agreements known or unknown, because sometimes we don't know that we've made agreements. Mm-hmm. And then I repent of joining with this, and I command this away from me. And thank you, Father, for supporting me, for and separating me from this as far as the east is from the west. And then the last part.
The most powerful. Is, Lord, what truth do you want to give me in place of this?
In place of this lie.
In place of the lie, And it's really important what you said. You're taking your thoughts. It's our thoughts that we're dealing with. Because again, in that passage, it talks about taking our thoughts captive. And lots of times people say, well, I'm dealing with fear, I'm angry, I'm dealing with this or that. But the enemy doesn't get his power by saying, boo, are you afraid? You
right.
know, what he says is, oh, do you know what that's going to do? Do you know how bad it's going to be?
Right.
Or anger. Do you know what? Do you realize what they did to you? That is so mad. They humiliated you. And those thoughts is what give power behind that, whether it's jealousy, fear, anger, depression, whatever it may be, that he uses thoughts.
Yeah, that's right.
To put power behind that spiritual force. And he is not a generalist. Like, he doesn't just say, boo, I'm fear. Hey, you know, it's a good idea. You ought to be depressed, you know?
Yeah.
He starts putting thoughts in. And so the more precise we can be in identifying those thoughts, the more effectively we can battle against those thoughts with the truth of God.
That's good.
That speaks against them.
It's really good.
Yeah. Yeah. And that all, anybody can start this. And as you practice it, this again is taught in the Word of God in Hebrews 5:11-14. God tells us we get to practice. We get to practice the word of righteousness when we're being tested and tempted.
Yes.
And as we practice it, we actually become more discerning, recognizing in more and more detail what is good and what is evil. Yeah.
Hey, if you are just getting to know Awake Church or found us through this podcast, I just want to share a little bit here. Our mission is to know Jesus personally, to become progressively more like him, and make his name known everywhere. We like to say, know God, take action. We are a community of awakened sons and daughters of the King, growing together, loving and worshiping God together, and releasing his love into this world. You can learn more about our leadership team, our values and beliefs, and check out upcoming events at awakechurch.com. As a pastor, I've been in church my whole life. You have too, Lori, and mm-hmm. you in different churches,
yeah.
right?
Yeah. yeah.
He was an altar boy.
Okay, so
except
you've been in church
for
your
my
whole life,
college
too.
Years. I didn't go to church.
Okay. So. But one of the things that, you know, we talked about that sex is typically not talked about in a healthy way, or not very often anyway, mm-hmm. for marriages and for single people as well. Something else that I've noticed that you end up dealing with as a pastor is, I would call it the dysfunction of the body of Christ relationally, mm-hmm. where people, not just in marriages, but marriages probably primarily and probably mm-hmm. bleeds over into everything, mm-hmm. but we don't tend to be the best, even though the Lord showed us to love him with all and to love our neighbor as much as we love ourselves. But there's a lot of dysfunction in relationships and the body and the way that people relate to their pastors and the way they relate to one another. I know that's a huge topic here, and we don't have time to go into a ton of that, but I just wanted to see if you wanted to speak to any of that that would be helpful for people and maybe a tool or a thought process that could be helpful to unravel that. We'd love to be healthy mm-hmm. in the body.
The first thing I want to say is, to some extent, it will always be that way. Mm-hmm. We will always be imperfect mm-hmm. humans who mm-hmm. need a savior.
Yes.
And we will always have weaknesses. But having said that, the goal is to become more Christ-like, mm-hmm. more mature, more like mm-hmm. him. Mm-hmm. And that will be living in truth and love mm-hmm. and growing out of that. So that's our goal. But I really feel like it's important mm-hmm. for us to never get to the place of believing that we can get to nirvana,
right?
You know, that we can get to a place where we've arrived. If we arrive, we stop being disciples. Mm. We stop being learners, students of the Lord. Mm-hmm. And then we stop being taught by him, and then we become self-righteous probably. But at the same time, I think one of the main concepts for healthy relationship is this idea of living in truth and love with each other.
Mm. Yeah.
And that is in Ephesians 4:15, we find this, where Paul is talking about the church maturing, how we mm. grow up in maturity mm-hmm. together in each other. And, you know, and even the New Testament, it didn't take them very long to have problems with each other in the New Testament.
No, for sure.
Even with all the power that God was demonstrating at that time. But he says, this is how we do it. Living in truth and love with each other. Yeah. We grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ. So, you know, again, truthfulness being not, first of all, we learn the truth from God. It's not just my truth. It's not relative truth or yours or whoever podcast we listen to,
right.
Whoever our favorite speaker is. But Jesus said we learn the truth by abiding in his words.
Mm-hmm.
That's
right.
That's how we first become a disciple. We learn from him. We abide in his words. And that's the only truth that will set us free.
Mm-hmm.
So the abiding in his words goes way beyond knowing his words, even mm-hmm. teaching it, memorizing it, mm-hmm. quoting it. Mm-hmm. We have to, it has to be how we live, how we think, how mm-hmm. we see, how we interpret the world around us.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, not all of a sudden, I should say gradually, mm-hmm. the truth about the world mm-hmm. becomes, we see it the way he sees it. We see ourselves the way he sees it. And we can live that way, increasingly growing that mm-hmm. way. We live in truth and love. And we will have Christ more working through us and living in us and living through us.
Mm-hmm.
While I'm on a roll here, there's a passage that I've been, honestly, for several years I've been meditating on. Mm-hmm. And I pray it for us almost every day.
Yes, you do.
Mm-hmm. It comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 17.
Mm-hmm.
where Jesus prays for his disciples, then he prays for all of us who will believe in him through their word, which they began. And in verse 22, he says, he's praying to the Father for us, and he says, Father, the glory you have given to me, I've given to them.
Yeah.
That one is hard to understand. Mm-hmm. To me, the way I understand it, it's like, Lord, the way you think about them, the esteem, the value you give me, I've given to them. Mm-hmm. And then we talk about God seeing us as Jesus, and he's saying it there. But he goes on and says, that they may be one.
That's right.
I and them, Jesus and us, the Father and Jesus, that we may be perfected in one.
Yes.
That the world will know that God sent Jesus and God loved us like he loved Jesus. And there's this something that, like I said, I'm praying it every day for us that we can learn this in our own lives. Mm. That somehow I have to see, that remember that God sees her like he sees Jesus. Mm. How am I going to treat her?
Right.
If I can remember that and remember that God sees me like he sees Jesus and he's willing to be in me. And how am I going to act and live if I really have that in me? Mm-hmm. And I tell you, I don't feel like I've gotten real far in that, very far in it.
Yeah.
But I'm remembering, I really believe there's a key in here.
Yes.
For us to learn this oneness, like Jesus was one with the Father, us become one with each other in a healthy, godly way, not in dysfunctional ways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's powerful, because I think you're right in that if we can see people the way that he sees them, that does make a big difference.
Yeah.
I remember my very first day in ministry, full-time ministry, that was my prayer, was, Lord, that I would treat your bride that you love, knowing that every single person, not even those who aren't your bride, but every single person was made in the image of God, and they were intended for you to live inside of them. Help me to see them that way.
Yes.
And it does, when I remember that, it helps me to see people in the right way. It's similar to what you're saying here.
Yeah. It's a challenge to live it out.
It is. And I've failed at it oftentimes, but it's for him to change our sight.
And as a wife, I can say, as he has been on this journey of living out that passage, and then some other books that he's been reading by Andrew Murray on humility, and he's talking about all these things, I am noticing him changing, and even the other day he caught himself, and we were doing something, and you were frustrated with me, and you came back to me and you said, you know what, I was judging you, it's like I put you in a box because I was assuming that this is what you were doing, this is who you were. Mm. And it was the opposite of trying to see God in me, but it made him aware of that in his own, figuring this out, what was going on.
Yeah. Yeah.
And for him to come back and say that to me, that was just, that was so powerful.
Yeah.
But it was really the very opposite of what we're talking about. Instead of seeing her through God's eyes, I was seeing, evaluating, judging her through my eyes, my experience.
Yeah.
And the judgments, that it just brings separation instead of the oneness that God intended us as, if I can see her through God's eyes.
But this is so powerful to be married to somebody who is not only reading the Bible, teaching the Bible, but looking inside and saying, you know, see if there be any hurtful way in me and lead me in the everlasting way. Psalm 139.
Thing. Yes.
That is what we have to be doing. You know, let the word dwell richly in us and help us become what we need to become. And I'm seeing that with my baby.
Well, you're living it.
We're trying.
Yeah.
Like I said, I pray every day, and I fail all the time at that. I don't know if I've ever done it completely, but hopefully growing
well,
in it.
Something
just came to my mind. It's related here, but hopefully it's going to be important for somebody to hear. A while back, we had a meeting at our house. We did a workshop at our house, and some of the neighbors got pretty upset. And I told them, I said, I didn't even think about it, you know, doing business at our house, and I won't do it anymore. But some of them still went ahead to talk to the county and complained about us and stuff. And one of those people, one day we were walking, we walk and pray most mornings when we can. We walked up, and Lori said, hi, and it was that one of those neighbors. And I didn't see him, and then I turned around and I said, hi. And the Lord spoke to me, and he said, and I have really forgiven him. I don't feel have bad feelings towards him. I wouldn't call him a trusted friend.
Sure.
But it's weird. The Lord spoke to me, and he said, to treat a person based on how they have affected you is self-centeredness.
Wow.
So good or bad.
That's what God said to him.
You know, if you love those who only love you, what good?
There's right. No, yeah.
But if we can see them as God sees them and love them, and in spite of, and again, God told me it, he wants me to at least remember and think of it. I fail all the time, but that's still what he has for us.
Wow.
And it really goes back to that thing of dysfunction.
Yeah.
It's us treating each other based on how we feel and how somebody makes me feel rather than how God sees them and how God asks us.
Or sometimes it's perception of things or not believing the best. Like 1 Corinthians 13 says we should. Really good.
And I just want to add a little bit onto that. We are also learning that even when we mess up, and you know, growing up in a pastor's home and just being more aware of performance and, you know, having to earn and all of that things, which my parents didn't teach. They didn't want that, but it's generational and it's hard to get rid of. When we mess up, and when we're being messy, and even when you were judging me, you know, I grew up in a pastor's home and there's all of that going on. And I have learned, I'm learning that God is not mad at us. You know, he is not, he is not, he doesn't even pull away from us because he sees us through Jesus. You know, when God starts giving you a revelation and it hits you, and it's something that you've heard all your life, but it becomes real. And I just, I guess I just want to say this because I think so many of us live, you know, trying to earn and trying to gain our value. And we have so much value in the Lord. There's nothing. He will not ever leave us or forsake us. And he's never going to push us away. And sin is just, he grieves that we open the door to sin because, as Andrew Womack says, it makes us stupid. Bill Johnson says that too. It makes us stupid. And it opens us up to the enemy coming after us.
Right.
But it never, never separates us God.
He's a father who loves us all the time. Amazing. Thank you so much for spending this time today with me, with us, with everyone watching. I know you just come off the tail end of a lamb workshop of 3.5 days. You've been giving out a lot. And so thank you for giving us this time as well. And all that you've done over the years and the decades and thousands of individuals and couples that have been healed up and helped. And we just really appreciate you. You're a gift to the body of Christ. And
thank you.
Really appreciate you both.
Yeah. It's our privilege.
So if people wanted to learn more, maybe they wanted to attend a Love After Marriage or one of your single things, how do they do that? Is there someplace online they can sign up or find you? Where is that?
Yeah. Our website is nothinghidden.com. And, of course, there you can go to events and find all the events. You'll see events actually all around the world that some that we are not leading because a lot of other regions are leading them now. But nothinghidden.com. They can go there, look for events. They can go to our store. We have a book. We have e-courses. Some people have a hard time thinking of braving the 3.5 day or 5 day. We have an e-course where a couple can purchase that and just do it together, or do it with a couple friends or something. We have the single life.
Well, even our book is written as a workshop. So you can do it. If you don't want to leave your house and you just want to do it with your spouse, you can do it on your own and just have that activity to do that evening. And then it gives you homework to do.
And at the end of
it's
each
for
chapter.
18 weeks.
Oh, that's great. Okay.
And then also we have a family time e-course, which is it's a little bit different, kind of a try to make it almost like a fun game show type thing.
Okay.
And just 6 weeks of trying to introduce this in simple forms into family. And parents can watch it with their parents and children together, maybe, you know, six. Some people have been used with younger kids, but eight or so on up mm-hmm. can view it together and start to get these same concepts. I remember one family told us they watched it with their two kids. I think they had two boys and their girlfriends. And
they were high school age.
And they say, okay, but nobody's going deep. We're not doing anything deep.
We don't want to cry.
By then they were all crying. Mm-hmm. So we don't guarantee crying, but
right.
the goal is to go deep.
Okay, that's great. So I encourage everyone to check those things out online. And, you know, I think of people who go fly all over the place to go to a conference. You know, I think one of the best investments you can make in your marriage is to go to one of their workshops, Love After Marriage Workshop. They're around the world. And as you said, you guys are not always hosting each of those, yeah. but you do several, especially in the States, mm-hmm. and would really encourage you to go. Or maybe there's someone that you know that would really benefit from it. I can't encourage it more highly. So thanks for watching today. If you are watching, whether it's YouTube or some other medium and Spotify, subscribe, comment, share anything on there that is life-giving or helpful to you, and stay tuned for our next episode. Lord bless.